Hey folks, Jared Sylvester here. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast from Repurposed.
It used to be we'd sit down and like set goals because that's what you're supposed to do. Let's try to do 75 houses this year and $20 million worth of volume. Business production goals are good. They're not bad, but it just kind of becomes hollow at some point. And now all of a sudden we sit down and we're saying, well, how many children do you think we could provide shelter for this year?
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sylvester of Taegis Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. If you want to find more information on us, just go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. On this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with Spencer Hutton. Spencer is a licensed realtor for Commonwealth Real Estate Group in the Minneapolis area. He's a young guy. He's only in his 30s, but he and his team have realized that they are not only in the business of helping clients buy and sell homes, they are in the business of fighting human trafficking. And this all started because he pondered this simple question, how can we have more impact? It soon became apparent to Spencer helping clients find homes was going to be the avenue by which they could give a home to a child stuck in human trafficking. If you are struggling to connect your job and your daily life to a greater cause and a greater purpose, then this show is for you. Here's my chat with Spencer Hutton. Somebody reached out to me and one of my coworkers and said, you got to get Spencer on your show. He's doing some really cool things through his real estate company, which we'll get to. But first, just tell people kind of about yourself. What's your job title? What are you doing right now?
Yeah, I'm a real estate agent in the Minneapolis metro area. I'm the team lead and president of the Commonwealth Real Estate Group of the MLS Online. Basically believe that I'm here to make an impact on my clients' stories and help them live a better story. And the best way to do that is to find the best setting for their story to be birthed out of through the home buying and selling process. So that's what me and my team believe in doing. And we've been doing that for the last 6 years here in the Minneapolis metro area.
You're married with kids. Are you from the metro area?
Originally, yeah. So my wife, Amber, and my two kids, my daughter, Peyton, and my son, Elliot. My wife and I both grew up in the central Minnesota area, and then I lived in Texas for a handful of years before we came back and settled in Minneapolis and got married and started having children and all that kind of stuff. So
we had chatted before we started recording, just kind of getting an idea of kind of how your story operates. You said you got into the real estate business and got pretty busy and successful right away. Talk about that.
Yeah, so started actually when my wife had our first child. I was working at a Christian school in downtown Minneapolis. I was a golf coach there and loved what I was doing, but working for a nonprofit Christian university doesn't buy a whole lot of diapers and formula. So I thought I'd have the brilliant idea of going out and starting my own company and shifting over to a commission-based industry to help provide for my family. Thankfully, it worked out, and we became pretty successful pretty quickly, and just love what I do, love the home buying and selling process. I always had a passion about it, and like I said, kind of got pretty successful pretty quick, but started having some health issues 2 years into it, and that kind of shaped the course of realizing that, kind of reconfirming that life is short, and so while you've got your time here, what are you doing to make a positive impact and to leave a lasting legacy? And two, how can we still do what we're doing but not jeopardize family and faith and friends and all those things?
Did you say that some of your health issues had to do with maybe some of the time pouring into your work and your business? Is that kind of the root cause of some of these issues that you had?
Yeah, absolutely. In 2014, I did over a little over 30 deals on my own with zero admin, zero other agents helping, anything like that. Almost all of them buy side too, which takes a lot of time, away from home, away from family. Right. And yeah, so I've always said you have these areas of your life, these buckets, your family, your faith, your friends, your finances, your health, and you only have capacity to hold so much in each one. And when you start pouring too much into one, you're going to take from another. And, you know, subconsciously I stole from my health. And so at the end of 2014, I ended up in the hospital, for about a week and couldn't breathe, heart rate going all over the place, vitals kind of getting all out of whack. And it really just came down to, the fact that I was burnt out and I was entering into fatigue and my body just was shutting down. My body was saying, hey, you can't handle this anymore. And so it was that time in the hospital that kind of led to a lot of soul searching of what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And how do I live out the rest of my days in a way that makes a positive impact for my family, for my friends, for my faith, for people I work with, but, you know, doesn't steal from my health.
Yeah. And you're not an old guy now. I mean, this is back in 2014. So how old are you then?
Let's see, I'd have been just over 30, about 31.
Wow. Yep, so I mean, that's some pretty heavy stuff to be going through and contemplating life at 30, 31 years old.
Yep. And that was kind of the wake up call of, you know, yeah, I'm young, but you never know when your time's up.
Right. So what was kind of the next step? Now you start getting healthier. You kind of have this new, vision, maybe a little more motivation to say, hey, we've got a finite amount of time here on planet Earth. I want to use it to the best, I can and have the most impact. So how did that lead to this next phase in life for you?
Yeah. So first with the real estate business, I kind of realized I couldn't do it all on my own anymore. So, started a team, you know, hired an admin, hired a buyer's agent which is eventually grown to a handful of it. We have four agents and two staff on our team. But it was this idea of, hey, I still want to do what I'm doing. I still want to do it well. I still want to steward the resources I've been given well, but I don't need to do it all by myself.
Right.
So bringing people in and doing that, and then really soul searching. Why are we doing what we're doing? For us, I've always said, one of our core values is impact. And we define that by the people and places we work with will be better because we exist. We talk a lot about everybody is writing a story and we want to come along as a guide along in that process as these people are writing the story of their lives and walk them through, ask questions that help determine where are they at and where do they want to go. And then we get to play a part as real estate agents, a part in determining the setting of which their story is birthed. So in 15 and 16, that was the big driving factor for us, is making an impact on our clients' stories. And we also called that our find home philosophy, that we define home as a place that is so much more than just a structure. It's a place that evokes joy and welcomes belonging and provides security. And we want to help our clients find home. So that was 15 and 16.
Yeah.
And then in 2017, we started asking the question of, okay, we're nailing this. We were growing more and our numbers continued to climb and the amount of people we were helping continued to rise. But it all just still kept, I still kept kind of coming back to this question, like, is this enough? Is this the best we can do? As we were talking earlier, I said, you know, I'm somebody who tends to be, I'm very content with the life I have and what I'm doing, but I'm also kind of never satisfied. And I was asking the questions of can we improve or be better? So where that landed with our business was around that question of impact. I knew we were making a positive impact in the stories of the clients we were working with. But we also started asking the question of, could people in places that we never interact with actually live a better story because we exist? And that question led us to our partnership with Venture Expeditions, which is an organization in the Minneapolis metro area that really focuses their efforts on fighting human trafficking in Nepal, rescuing children out of horrific situations, and you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds being rescued out of human trafficking.
Yeah.
And then they provide safe houses for those children and places where they can live, a place they can call home and a place they can be educated and rehabilitated and clothing and food. And so it just seemed like this cohesive fit of you know, when we help people find a home, we now take 5% of our gross revenue from the top line. We take 5% of every dollar that comes in and partner with Venture and send it to Nepal to build these safe houses and to provide shelter and education for these children. And that allows us to create an impact on their lives. And it allows us to give home to a child who desperately needs a place that, evokes joy and welcomes belonging and provides security. So, It's been a fun journey that we've been on over the last, especially the last year, as we've partnered with Venture on that.
That is awesome. Talk about that relationship. You mentioned that you had coffee with a gentleman from that organization, and you started learning about human trafficking. Just talk about that conversation and how that had an effect on you.
Yeah, so his name's Paul Herkman, and if you know Paul, you love Paul, and you also know that pretty much every conversation you're going to walk away with having cried at some point.
He's one of those guys. I hate that.
And so we met for coffee, and I was kind of soul searching on this question of what could we do to make a greater impact. And he started sharing about these efforts they do in Nepal to rescue children out of these human trafficking. There's actually a specific, you know, it's a caste system there, and there's a group of people called the Badi people, and they are the lowest of the low. They're actually considered, they're also called the untouchables. And so they can't have a job. They can't be educated. They virtually don't exist. They're actually lower than dogs in that society. So the only way they make money is by trafficking out their children, to make money. They actually believe and are told and are taught and, through centuries of this belief system that they exist for the pleasure of others.
Oh my goodness.
And he's telling me about these 5 and 6 and 7 year old kids who are being trained to dance and do things. And I'm thinking about my own 6 year old daughter and just getting wrecked in this coffee shop of just, you know, that this is the life these kids know. They think that this is their worth and value and that they exist simply for others. And just feeling, you know, just completely wrecked and impacted to do something. Because that, you know, I believe that they're worth infinitely more than that, and that's not why they were created or why they exist. And so it's been an interesting journey, learning more about it, you know, on the one hand is devastating. But then feeling called to try to do something about it or to do what we can, to help with it.
Was it pretty clear when you heard that this was kind of your door opening for you to use your business to try to help in this way and have more impact, like you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, it's just the pieces just all seem to fall into line. Paul and I, our paths had actually crossed a few times over the years, and we always remarked every time we'd connect like once, and then we'd go like 4 years without seeing each other again. And every time we connected, we're like, I feel like we're supposed to do something, but just never became clear until all of a sudden we're sitting in a coffee shop and I'm talking about us helping people find home and making an impact in their lives. And he's talking about how they're building homes for children and making an impact in their lives. And just this find home, give home philosophy just seemed to just naturally come out of thin air as we were sitting there. Seemed so cohesive that it seemed like I stopped believing in coincidences a long time ago. And it just seemed like way too much of a coincidence. The language and the things we were talking about just seemed to fit perfectly together.
Yeah. When you brought that to your team, what was the reaction?
Everybody was just all in and all on board. Interestingly enough, almost every single person on my team had some sort of an interaction or run-in with Venture before in their past and their story. And so it was just interesting that all of these stories were kind of colliding together. So everybody was on board, and it became this really fun. And it's become this really fun way to, I mean, it's basically reverse engineered the entire way we do business. It used to be we'd sit down and like set goals because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And it'd be like, okay, you know, let's try to do 75 houses this year and $20 million worth of volume. Well, why? Well, because it's a little bit more than we did last year.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, and goals are good.
And
business production goals are good. They're not bad, but it just kind of becomes hollow at some point. And now all of a sudden we sit down and we're saying, well, how many children do you think we could provide shelter for this year? What's the amount of children we want to help provide home and shelter to? Well, okay, let's, you know, it's 25. Okay, well, in order to do that, we need to do this many sales. And in order to do that, we need to set up this many meetings. And in order to, you know, and all of a sudden it's just reverse engineered,
yeah.
How we land on what we do. And it's made our minutes matter because we now know that the monotony of sometimes the things you do in a business on day to day to create business opportunities all of a sudden matters because it's the end goal, that we care about. That we're
Have you seen a kind of an uptick? And I don't want to give the impression to anybody listening here that, oh, if you do this, if you work to give, like, automatically there's going to be blessing and your business is going to blow up. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. No,
yep.
Don't want to make that indication. I don't think you do either. But
like
you said, this must have kind of just changed the whole game, as far as your why. And, you know, I have to assume you've seen an uptick in blessing. Maybe not necessarily financially, but just even in your own lives and in the lives of your team.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we definitely did not do it for the reason of, you know, of business growth or anything
right.
like that. But the byproduct has just been that it creates so much more meaning, as I said before, so much more meaning to your minutes.
Sure.
And all of a sudden the little things that may get you down or may drag on you or may get monotonous throughout the day.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, it's fine. Just push through it. Cause we've got eternity riding on this or we've got somebody's life riding on this. And it's just, it's made talking about the business more fun. You know, it's when you're sitting around with friends or you're catching up with somebody or, you know, hey, what are you up to these days or whatever. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with buying and selling a home.
Right.
But you know, it's now, oh man, we're really running after this goal of sheltering these children. And it's just been an incredibly refreshing way to look at what we do and why we do it.
That's awesome. Let's talk about purpose. That's kind of what the whole goal of this show and podcast is all about, to inspire people to live with more intentionality and live with purpose. Describe that word in your mindset. What is your purpose? Are you here on earth to be a real estate agent, or how would you describe the answer to that question?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I worked through an exercise actually in it would have been around 2017. I had a guy that kind of a business mentor that I was working with, and we actually worked through an exercise to kind of land on this thing. And so I have a very defined purpose. So it's kind of broken down into three sections. It's almost, you know, it's not titled these, but it's kind of like a mission statement, kind of core values, and then you know, kind of a vision of what I see life playing out as. And for me, what I landed on is I seek to impact, encourage, and empower those I've been entrusted with. I value authenticity, integrity, respect, impact, drive, humility, and fun. And I envision a sea of people living greater stories because of who I am, what I value, and the work I'm doing.
Wow.
And so for me, when I landed on those things, you know, kind of the core value of impact and what I've talked about earlier and these sentences that I work through is kind of why I get out of bed in the morning. It doesn't really have anything to do with real estate.
No.
Just real estate happens to be the vehicle with which I'm living out my story right now. But I believe I'm here to impact people's stories and to help people live a better story. And real estate's a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I love what I'm doing, but if at any point it didn't make sense to do real estate anymore or some other opportunity opened, I still feel I want to take my mission in life and have it be something that's not tied to a singular identity, because then if that gets taken away, then
right.
where am I at again?
Yeah.
You know,
what if you stop being a real estate agent, what are you going to do? Is that
right.
Your whole identity is gone? You've lost your purpose. If that's your sole purpose, I get that.
Yep. Yep. So that's kind of what I landed on, was what's the purpose and drive behind why I get up in the morning to do what I do. And then, you know, if it's real estate, how can I shift and create my day to live out that purpose in the realm of real estate?
Yeah.
And if it's not, you know, if I'm in sales somewhere else, or I'm a golf coach, or, you know, I'm a teacher, or whatever it is, you know, I could still do all these things and feel like I'm living out the purpose and why I'm here.
Yeah.
For the year.
When you were working through some of those exercises, what was the hardest part? Like what was the part that it was hardest to kind of wrap your brain around, you know, maybe trying to get to that point of defining purpose? Because I come across people all the time who are like, I don't understand my purpose and what am I supposed to do? And I can never seem to find my way. Did you have that? Was there one particular part of those exercises that was maybe the most difficult part to kind of get through as you're working through them?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I had a mentor who was really good at what he does.
Yeah.
So he was able to ask questions that I mean, we literally came up with all of that in probably about a 15-minute span. Hmm. So I think the combination of having somebody who's ahead of you in life who knows how to ask the right questions. And then also, I mean, I had just been on a kind of a soul searching journey for a couple of years coming out of my health issues and some other life events that had happened. My son almost died when he was born, which was after my health issues. So just all these types of things led to I've spent many years kind of asking why am I here? Because life, it's been presented to me over and over again that life is way too short to spend time not doing things of value.
Is that the question? Like your mentor was working. Is it that simple? Like why are we here? I mean, is really that the ultimate question, or are there more specific questions, you know, our listeners can even ask themselves to kind of get to that point that you got to?
Yeah. What was interesting, I mean, that really the first question he asked for that first sentence, was just, and he kind of talked about just answer as quickly as you can. Don't try to overthink it. Don't try to, and then he took, you know, I answered in more, in a little bit of a longer response, and then he kind of took it and tweaked it down into a one sentence. But really the question he asked was basically, why do you get out of bed in the morning? What is it that gets you out of bed? Not for job, not for anything. Just why do you get out of bed in the morning? What do you feel motivates you to get out of bed? And then I kind of rambled for a little bit. Right. And then, you know, he was able to kind of pare it down into one sentence. And I've been able to turn around and do that. So each of my team members has this same thing. We have for our business, we have a thing called the daily points of rhythm. We have these three sentences at the top of it, as to kind of, okay, here's kind of what we do in a day.
Yeah.
Here's why you're doing it. Remember, this is why you get out of bed in the morning to do what you do.
Yeah. Do you have that posted somewhere? I was just listening to somebody speak over lunch today at a business meeting, and she said she literally gets out of bed and reads her purpose, you know, vision, value statement. Do you have it somewhere that's in front of everybody so they'd never forget?
Yeah. So, I encourage my team. I'm probably not always the best at following up to see if they're doing it.
Right.
Full disclosure. But, you know, like for me, I print out a daily points of rhythm pretty much every day. And at the top, so I have it at my desk, and as I'm going through and checking, cause I'm just kind of an old school, I like it in my hand, type thing. So I print out a hard copy every day and have it sitting there that I can look at and remind myself and see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great reminder. Spencer, before I let you go, one last question for myself and everybody listening here today. You talk so much about impact. Clearly, you are doing that through your business, which is awesome. What's one simple thing that we can start doing, you know, even today? And maybe it doesn't have to be simple, but just one takeaway. How can we have more impact on the people around us and in this world?
Well, that's a great question. But I think it's just being aware of the fact that every single one of us is living a story.
Yeah.
And that we're living stories that were meant to matter, and not just float through life. But, you know, when I think through the concept of story, you know, there's the main character and there's conflict and there's resolution and there's climax. And when I started thinking through my life as the concept of this story, which a great book to read if anybody's looking for it, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years by Donald Miller, kind of unpacks this concept of living life as a story. And when I started looking through that lens, it totally changed the way I viewed life. First of all, understanding other people's story and what they're going through and why they are the way they are, or why they're having a bad day, or things like being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah.
And then, your own story, and am I living out a good story? Is my life a story somebody would want to read? Is a great question I ask myself.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Spencer Hutton. I'm always impressed with people, especially young people like Spencer, that figure this idea out early on in life, where their jobs and their lives are more than just about serving themselves. It's about using them as an avenue to impact others. I love what he said right at the end of our interview. He said, "We are all living stories that are meant to matter." Isn't that true? And he asked himself this very important question: is my life a story someone else would want to read? Bottom line, we all matter. All of our stories matter. We not only are called to have impact, but we have the tools to do it, whether you own a business, you work at a job, you have children or grandchildren. Spencer, well done on using your business as an avenue to fight such a noble cause. If you want to find more information on Spencer Hutton, you can find him online on Facebook and Instagram. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, the show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com. Click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesto. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.